In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So, scientists estimate that the odds of each of us being born, it goes back and forth from 400 trillion to about 700 trillion. Those are the odds, 1 in 400 trillion to 1 in 700 trillion. And so I remember going over this in my ninth grade science class, Mrs. Diener's class in biology. And I remember her saying that because of this stat, we are all winners. We have all won something. We have all won the lottery of our birth. Have any of you guys ever thought about this? Have any of you truly sat down and contemplated the meaning behind your existence, your birth, your coming into being? What does it mean? Moreover, do we effectively know the answer? Now, certainly we can comprehend the genesis of our being from a biological sense, the how, mind you, but biology also falls a bit short. But we know more than that. Is there a deeper meaning, a deeper explanation to our birth, to our existence? The Bible and the church certainly think so. Does anyone remember the words of the prophet Jeremiah in his first chapter, verse 5? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I sanctified you. If this is therefore true for Jeremiah, the same is true for us. For God just doesn't know one, but all. The majesty of his foreknowledge and his calling all are woven together. In this morning's gospel, we hear the exchange between Christ and Pilate. And I'd like us to hone in on verse 37. As Jesus answers Pilate, his question concerning his kingship. You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Now, while our text employs the verb come, many others, such as the King James and the RSV, use the verb born. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Christ was born to bear witness to the truth of man's creation, his very existence, to the truth of his kingship as Lord over all, and to make real in a very personal and intimate way the truth of man's salvation. It is within these truths, the very truths Christ came into the world, suffered, and died for, that hold the key to our birth as well. You see, our birth is intertwined with Christ's birth. Just as we are born into the world, so is Christ. Just as we are flesh, so is he. Therefore, if we believe, without Christ, does it mean nothing? We live in a world that endlessly searches for meaning, for reasons behind what caused this or that. But when presented with the larger picture, how often does such a thought become too big for too many? Even with our modern technology and forward thinking, science still struggles with such questions. But thanks to the gospel, we no longer have to search in vain. Thanks to the gospel, we are able to derive the meaning of our birth by way of Christ and his birth, who came into the world to bear witness of the truth. So have we been born into the world to bear witness of that very same truth, that Jesus Christ is Lord and King over all, that he holds all in his hand, that we were created by and through him, and without him, everything would collapse, would fall apart. Athanasius reminds us that the incarnation was always God's intention from the very beginning. It was always his plan, his desire to unite the crowning achievement of his creation with himself. And the best way to accomplish that was to what? To share in our flesh, to become one of us, so that we could then become what he is by grace. And this all harkens back for us as Christians to our baptism. You see, in order to bear Christ's truth, we must be what? Sealed by him, right? After all, does anyone listen to a herald if he does not first bear the mark of his king? By way of our baptism, we carry the mark of Christ and we bear his truth. Through our baptism, we have, as Paul declares in Romans, received the gift of adoption, being the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And one of the primary tasks that an heir is charged with is continuing the legacy of his parents, of those that came before them, isn't it? You see, a son or a daughter is a living legacy of those that have come before them. Therefore, we, by way of our baptism, we are that living legacy as disciples of Christ. We are the legacy of Christ's birth. We are the legacy of his truth. And we have been charged to preach it, to share it with others, to tell all that the kingdom of God has truly come near them. That is how we ensure Christ's truth, his legacy, that it lives on, by being and professing that truth to the world. And this was precisely the last sentiment that I shared 4 years ago with Danielle's father just moments before he passed into Christ's eternal kingdom. By this time, his eyes had been closed as I administered his last rites, but I knew he could still hear me. And so I told him that his legacy still lives on. It lives on through the lives of his children, through his wife, through our marriage and our children, and that it was my honor to carry out his legacy to the best of my ability going forward. And the beautiful thing about that is exactly what we have been called to do as heirs of Christ. Our legacy is none other than a continuance of his legacy. Let us honor Christ by professing his truth, applying it to every facet of our lives. We are that living legacy, being born again into Christ, Christ the artificer of truth, Christ our eternal King. Let us therefore exalt him now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen.